The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 18, verses 10 to 20. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. What do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on a hill and go and look for the one that has wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about the one sheep than the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they do not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, that if two of you on earth agree to anything they ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am with them. Then Peter came to him and said to him, Lord, if any member of the church sins against me, how should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 70 times seven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, what do you think this morning? Is he talking about... what do you think this morning? You all heard this gospel text read out. Is Jesus talking about a set of rules or the development of healthy relationship? Is he talking about the development of a truly Christian community? So this morning, is it rules or is it relationships? So this is the central question to answer from this passage in Matthew's gospel. Is Jesus giving us rules to live by? Or is he favouring healthy relationships over everything else in our Christian lives? If it's the former, then we at Christ Church Melton have a tidy little formula for maintaining order in the church. If someone offends you, confront them. Don't try to recruit other people to your grievances. Don't try to triangulate the vicar. Don't try to triangulate the vicar's wife or one of the wardens. If someone offends you, confront them. If that doesn't work, try an intervention. If that fails, cut them off and kick them out. If nothing else, it's at least very straightforward. Now, in my younger days, I was part of a Christian community who read this passage this way. They called it the Matthew 18 principle. The Matthew 18 principle procedure was printed on small posters all throughout the church and put on notice boards in the church foyer. If you started to gossip about someone to another member of the church, you were marched over very quickly to one of the notice boards and made to read the poster. And they called it the Matthew 18 principle. However, if it's the latter, the development of healthy relationships, then we've got a much more challenging but more interesting interpretation of this scripture ahead of us. So think about it. What if Matthew's text isn't simply setting up rules of engagement, What if Matthew's text is trying to build in us authentic Christian community? What if the point is less about having a code of conduct to follow and more about regaining a brother and a sister or a sister? And if Matthew's major concern isn't actually about settling disputes, but his main concern is about creating an environment where Christ's presence continues to bring forgiveness and bring healing and bring joy. These are huge questions. Is it rules or is it relationships? The verse immediately before this passage details God's delight. Firstly, in gathering back of those sheep or that sheep that had strayed. And secondly, the command to beware of despising others, even and perhaps especially those who seem of little credit to you. The verse that follows set a new standard for forgiveness. Let's have a look at it in verse 21 and verse 22. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how should I forgive? As many as seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 70 times seven." What Jesus does first is he multiplies Peter's sense of appropriate forgiveness beyond imagination. And then Jesus suggests that our ability to forgive others may be the key factor in whether we ourselves are forgiven. And all of which makes me think that this week's passage is not simply a set of rules, but rather it's an offering to show us that relationships take work to maintain, and that community is harder to forge in nature than we might imagine. Because if you think about it, going to someone with your concern or grievance is a lot harder than talking behind their back. It's a lot easier to try and recruit someone else to your cause. It's a lot easier to involve someone else in your pain and in your bitterness. It's a lot easier to air your dirty laundry on Facebook. It's a lot harder to go to someone with your concerns and with your grievance. Bringing in another person to listen closely to what is said takes a lot more courage than posting something on Facebook or recruiting someone else to your cause. And working out disputes as a community together rather than simply dispensing judgment can be really, really hard. That's why Jesus says in verses 18 to 20, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there amongst them." Now, this is not a prayer formula for a small church meeting, because that's what we really all want to say, isn't it? When two or three show up to our Bible study or prayer meeting, we go, "Oh, well, Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there he is amongst them." Now, practically, that might be true, but that's not how this text should be interpreted. Jesus' words should be interpreted through the lens of church discipline and church health. Jesus' approach is relational. It's hearing, it's heeding. And it gives us a greater insight into his words, because suddenly loosening and binding may perhaps not be promises of unlimited power, but instead Jesus' call to extreme caution, because setting anything in stone is not what we're asked to do, because as the way we regard others on earth have a cosmic significance, he says. If you bind something and it's bound in heaven, there's a cosmic significance to that. And so we need to be very careful and seek agreement with others in the community. And it's not a formula to force God's hand when we do that. It's not a formula to grant us what we want. However, it's a messianic promise that when Christians come together to discuss, listen for, and discern God's will, then nothing's out of reach. What will be bound on earth will be bound in heaven. What's loosed on earth will be loosed in heaven. And the assurance of Jesus' presence is both a reminder that what we say and do together is always said and done in the presence of our Lord, and a promise that hard work of relationship is what we must set ourselves towards. It's not done alone, but always with Jesus' presence and assistance. So, my friends, authentic community is hard, but also powerful, and it's also healing, and it's also a tremendous witness. It's a lot of work, but it's always worth it. So let me make a suggestion that while we are separated due to this COVID-19 restriction, let us think of those who we are physically separated from as God's gifts. Even as we are physically separated, we are and can be the people and the community God wants us to be and needs us to be. There is so much that is challenging in our world today, from COVID-19 to displays of hate, from injustice to intolerance. The world, our very community here in Melton, desperately needs us to be the body of Christ. Even though we're physically dislocated at this time, we are the body of Christ. And so I'll say it again, authentic community is hard. But the trade-off is that authentic community is also powerful. Authentic community is healing, and it is a tremendous witness. And it's a heck of a lot of hard work, but it's always worth it. So, my brothers and sisters, in this time of physical dislocation, let us stay focused. Let us stay faithful. Let us not grow weary of following the path that Jesus has set. Let's be reminded that we have Jesus' promise, that each and every time we try, he is there with us, instructing us in the way of love, urging us on, forgiving us, and sending us out to be agents of reconciliation and peace, accompanying us wherever we go. We are still the body of Christ. Together or apart, we are still the body of Christ. And Melton needs this church. Therefore, we all need to live into being the community that God wants us to be, with the COVID-19 crisis or without the COVID-19 crisis. Together or apart, my friends, we are still the body of Christ. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the many gifts and graces that you give to your people. Father, during this COVID-19 event that has caused so much dislocation, I pray that you would supernaturally deepen the bonds of fellowship within the body of Christ. And may our hearts be continually knitted together in the love of Christ. Forgive us for times when our fleshly nature has broken or damaged these precious relationships. Times where we have failed to pray for one another. Times where we have failed to walk in love with each other. Times where we have failed to walk in your sacrificial footsteps. Father, even in this time of physical dislocation, help us not to be complacent. Help us not to lose heart. Help us to know that we are still the body of Christ. May we all draw even closer to each other and to you as we see the day of your return approaching. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.